Good morning and welcome to St. James Westminster. It's dreary outside this morning. If you are feeling as dreary as the weather, fear not. The ancient wisdom of the church is here for you, and I'm sure that my pink stole is going to solve all of your problems. It is the fourth Sunday in Lent, and so we've changed the stole, the bursten veil, to pink to remind ourselves that nothing is ever just penitential, that being solemn takes a lot of energy, and it is okay to take respite, to remember that love and grace and mercy are key parts of our Lenten journey. Easter is on its way, I promise. There are Easter letters and chimes in the Stirling Vestry for you as proof. This Wednesday, we also have the Jazz Vesper service at Calvary United down the street. Through Lent, we have been taking a pilgrimage through the churches in Wortley. It has been lovely to worship with our siblings who come from different traditions. Many of us will be there at 7 o'clock on Wednesday at Calvary United. Finally, Kids Camino continues through Lent. A few of our volunteers are taking well-earned breaks. Some are heading other places. Some just need to take a few weeks off. The Kids Camino is a lovely time. We are well within our safe church ratios. And if you have a free Tuesday, an extra adult or two would not go amiss, and your presence would be warmly welcomed. So, if you have a Tuesday coming up soon where you are free and you could join us, I'm sure an extra adult, a grandma or grandpa, would add something special to our gathering. So please consider. And now let us take a moment to prepare ourselves for worship.
Return to me, God calls, return to our heart, to our home, to God alone, we turn to you, God, we turn to you.
We have wounded your love.
O God, hear us.
We stumble in the darkness.
Light of the world, transfigure us.
We forget that we are your home.
Spirit of God, bless us.
Eternal Spirit, living God, in whom we live.
Fountain of water, well within us, that we may love and praise thee.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Gracious Father, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, came from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world, evermore give us this bread, that he may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading.
A reading from the book of Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." And so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on that day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be.
Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven, and whose sin is put away.
Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all day long.
For your hand was heavy upon me day and night. My moisture was dried up as in the heat of summer.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and did not conceal my guilt.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, all the faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them.
You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. be fitted with bit and bridle, or else they will not stay in you. Great are the tribulations of the wicked, but mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord. Be glad, O righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true of heart. Praise to you,
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
All the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who set him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father's house. And I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father's. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. And put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now, his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come. Your father has killed the fatted calf because he had got him back safe and sound.' And then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours came back, who had devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him?' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, O Lord, King of eternal glory. Praise to you, O Lord, King of eternal glory.
Please be seated. God loves us, you and me, all of us, actually, everywhere. And God loves us a lot. So much that there is not actually anything that you or I or anyone could do to make God stop loving us. Through Jesus, the whole world has been invited into God's promise that no matter what we do, no matter what mistakes we might make, there will always be a way home. This is the deep, life-changing, universe-altering truth that sits at the heart of the parable of the prodigal son. It is, in fact, the same truth that sits at the heart of the whole story of salvation that we know from our scriptures. God established a covenant with Abraham and Sarah and included their descendants. All of us have struggled to be faithful to God. None of us have kept up our end of the covenant. Time and time again, we have fallen short. And God has always responded faithfully. And yet, we still find it very hard to trust that God's love will be there when we need it. Many people fear that they are not enough. We are all too aware of our shortcomings, and it seems impossible that God would look at us and simply rejoice when we acknowledge that we have not done as we ought. It really feels like there should be some kind of punishment, some consequence for having gone astray. I heard years ago that if it were up to God, the Bible would only be a few lines long. God would simply say, "I love you. Go. Love others as I love them. Oh, and please, love me back." The reason that the Bible is just a shade longer than that is because we find that simplicity too challenging. And so we try our best to put boundaries around God's love. We try to limit it and box it in. And so God must continually come back and remind us that, no, we are wrong. There is no end to what God will forgive. There is no action that can put us beyond God's love. But it seems that being loved by God just isn't enough for us. There is some part of us that wants this love to be exclusive. And that's the other half of the parable, isn't it? Yes, God loves you so much. And God loves everyone else just as much as God loves you. And God's not going to stop loving them, even when it really, really bothers us. God is not going to respect the boundaries that we put up. God isn't going to let us decide who is worthy of forgiveness and who is not. I read this week that while some biblical scholars are happy with the traditional way we read this passage, others aren't so sure that the younger son's repentance is genuine. They suggest that the younger son has only returned because he realized he would be better off at home, that he isn't really sorry for wasting the money his father gave him. He just knows that he will not be as hungry if he goes home. And I struggled with that, because I take great comfort in remembering that God is no fool, that God knows what is in our hearts and sees through our false pretenses. And that's why I believe that repentance is so important, because although God is willing to forgive, our actions also matter. They have consequences in this life. And even if God is ready to forgive, it doesn't mean that God rejoices when we harm ourselves or others. So it only makes sense that we must do our part too. We must show up. And suddenly, I wasn't so sure what to make of this parable anymore. It took a few days to sort through, but I've begun to wonder if perhaps the son's intentions don't matter as much as I wanted them to. Maybe if God loves us first, and all that we ever do is respond to that love, perhaps it doesn't matter as much if the parable doesn't wrap up the same way I thought it did. If the younger son's repentance wasn't genuine in the parable. Just because it may not have been true in that moment doesn't mean it cannot be true in the future. The son is home now. He can live in his father's love again. And maybe that is what is really important. We already knew that the elder son's story was not over yet. He needs more time. He needs to wrestle with what his father's love looks like. Of course, the best thing the sons could do, the best thing that we could do, is to turn fully to God, to see the errors of our ways, and to let go of those things that draw us away, to come and rest in God's arms. And maybe God's love is even more amazing than we thought. Maybe our imperfect, incomplete work is still a reason for God to rejoice. Maybe repentance is the end of a long journey made up of small steps, little changes consistently met with compassion and joy that slowly turn into genuine growth. Perhaps it really is as simple as God loves us. Whoever you are, elder brother, younger brother, somewhere in between, depending on the day, let us pray that in this season of Lent, God's love will continue to gently wear away at our rough edges, so that one day, our imperfect, incomplete repentance may be brought to fullness. Amen. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say,
he ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will
Please assume a posture of prayer.
In your loving kindness, Lord.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, thank you for being our companion and guide on our Lenten journey. We continue to try to simplify and focus on you during Lent, rather than being caught up with worries about the state of the world. However, it is a challenging time for many of us. So we ask that you help us keep our hope pinned on you. Help us remember that you are like the gracious parent in the story of the prodigal son. You share what is yours and celebrate when we return to you and renew our commitments. Help us to refrain from grumbling, judgment, and bitterness, and rather join in your celebrations. In your loving kindness,
hear our prayer.
Thank you for our clergy, Michael, Anne, and Jerry, and for all those who remain faithful to your call to share their talents and serve others within our parish, deanery, and diocese. Thank you for the example of their positivity and hopefulness. In your loving kindness, Lord,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all those in positions of authority and leadership in Canada and around the world. We especially pray that our country stays firm and united during the election campaign, and that politicians focus on issues while avoiding the use of personal attacks. We pray for Indigenous communities here on Turtle Island and around the world, seeking a meaningful path forward towards reconciliation. We also pray for all those affected by war and the threat of war. In your loving kindness, Lord, we pray for our neighbors, friends, and family living in London and Wortley Village, and particularly those who might be precariously housed or homeless, dealing with food insecurity or health and mental health challenges. Help each of us to remember that we can return to you with our concerns and challenges at any time, and that you will always welcome us. In our church community today, we pray for Sylvia, Cheryl, Julie, Maria, Jill, Marley and Steph, Robert, Sherry, Tommy, Chantel, Don and Nancy, Gavin, Peter, Trevor, Jim, Catherine, Carlene, Brian, Elder, Charles and family, Rick, Stan, Brits, Rocky, Arnold and Marilyn, Jamie and Sandra. In your loving kindness, Lord, we remember those who have died and those who are near to death, praying that your presence and reassurance is felt during these times. In your loving kindness, Lord, thank you for your grace and compassion and the opportunity to come together to celebrate these gifts as a church family each week. Help us to never take these opportunities or one another for granted. In your loving kindness, Lord, amen.
My friends in Christ, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
We're going to ask you to be seated for the offertory hymn this morning. Sometimes when you're leafing through the hymn book, you find little gems contained in there. And this is a hymn I did not know. It's hymn number 609, if you want to take a look at the music. And it's an old shape note hymn. That means an old gospel hymn from the southern states from the mid-19th century. But it also has some Irish and Celtic roots as well. And it has a little bit of a bluesy flavor to it. And it tells the prodigal son story in a very unique and interesting way. So we're going to do it as a call response piece. Paul is going to tell the story, which is laid out in the verses. And we're going to ask you to go and join in on the refrain with the choir each time it comes around. So it really very much is in a folk hymn style. And I'm going to get the key. And the refrain goes something like this. I will arise and go to Jesus. Try that.
I will arise and go to Jesus.
He will embrace me in his arms.
He will embrace me in his arms.
In the arms of my dear Savior. Way up high.
In the arms of my dear Savior.
Oh, there are 10,000 charms.
Oh, there are 10,000 charms.
Far, far away from my loving Father, I had been wandering wayward wild, fearing only lest his anger overtake his sinful child.
I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms. In the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms.
Fain had I fed on the husks around me, till to myself I came and said, plenty have my Father's servants, perish I for want of bread.
I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms. In the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms.
I will arise though faint and weary, home to my Father I will go. Woe to me that e'er I wandered, that I such need should know.
I will arise.
through Jesus, he will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms.
Father, I'll say I have sinned before thee. No more may I be called thy son. Make me only as thy servant. Pity me, a wretch undone.
He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms.
Then I arose and came to amazing love unknown. He beheld me, ran, embraced me, pardoned, welcomed, called me son.
He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms.
God of mercy and compassion, your word calls us home to faith and love. Accept all we offer you this day in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ, your Son, who was tempted in every way, yet did not sin. By his grace, we are able to triumph over every evil and to live no longer for ourselves alone, but for him who died and rose again. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all who have served you in every age, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, Lord, our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command,
remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your children. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, by whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, we break this bread. Let your church be the wheat which bears its fruit in dying. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
sea shakes, then I trust my Savior. When the sea breaks, still I trust my Savior. And if the sea crumbles into rust, tumbles into dust, yet I will trust my Savior.
When the stars fall, then I trust my Savior. When the stars fall, still I trust my Savior. And if the stars crumble into dust, tumble into dust, yet will I trust my Savior. When my heart sighs, then I trust my Savior. When my heart tries, still I trust my Savior. And if my blood rolls into dust, tumbles into dust, yet will I trust my Savior.
When the stars fall, then I trust my Savior. When the stars fall, then I trust my Savior. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now found, was blind, but now I see.
Let us stand and continue in prayer. Giver of life, you enlighten all who come into the world. Fill our hearts with the splendor of your grace, that we may perfectly love you and worthily praise your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you, those you love, and those you struggle with, now and always. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Baron Saul's